Quest for Truth, Episode 223.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectors of the Book and HPN. Now located at life-truth.com, here are your podcast host deputies, Keith Heltzley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and it's time for another episode of Quest for Truth, the show where we try to take some honest looks at worldviews, well, sometimes humorous, as you'll find out today. But when we get to our main topic, we really do try to respond in an honest, serious way. And the show that I intended to bring today, due to technical difficulties, couldn't be done. And so I'm rolling back to some early segments we did early in the year where we address some clips, some audio clips I found on YouTube from a video called 10 Things Unbelievers Say. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. There won't be a link in the show notes, but hey, look it up. I'm sure I'll find it, and you can listen to the whole bit yourself. But here we will be later responding to that. First up, a silly segment with Isaac, where he answers questions that were sent in by you, the listener. Stay tuned. After that will be a few minutes where the Chris the Wild Moose joins me in taking a humorous look at some headlines. So here we go. This is Grandpa and Isaac, and we're outside, so maybe you hear some cricket sounds or bird sounds or frog sounds or something. Frogs are
no frogs.
No frogs allowed. But anyway, we're outside because it's cool, not so hot.
But, anymore.
But we had people asking if Isaac could answer some questions. So are you ready for a test?
Yep.
Get your paper and pencil out. I'll be graded later.
No, that's not.
Oh, wrong kind of questions. Okay, the first question, you already actually answered. Remember when we talked upstairs in my office? Whenever you answer your questions about your favorite food?
Yeah, we already answered that. Bananas, grapes, any kind of food.
Any kind of fruit. Any kind of fruit. The other two questions, one of them was, what's your favorite game?
Guitar games!
Making loud, funny sounds into my microphones, huh? That's your favorite game?
And breathing on it!
You're fogging up my screen on my phone. I think you melted it with your breath. So anyway, what's your favorite game? Do you have a favorite, like, video game?
Car games!
Progress?
Car games!
Oh, car games. Any kind of car game. See, that's why you need to say it so people can hear you. And people want to know. Because they like you. Except for, you know what? They must not like you all that much. Because they haven't bought any of your merch yet. So anyway, so any kind of a car game. What are some of the car games that you have played in the last couple of days?
Not much.
Like hilltop racing or something?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any favorite hobbies?
Hobbies?
You know what a hobby is?
No.
You don't know what a hobby is?
No.
It's one of those horses you like you ride around on with a stuffed head and a broomstick for a tail?
No.
That's a kind of a hobby horse. Okay, let's put it this way. If you didn't have any school all day long, which is the summer, so you don't, and let's say you can't play any video games, and let's say you had any amount of money that you wanted to spend to do whatever, what would you be doing?
Mm-hmm. Probably buying a bunch of snacks.
Huh?
probably buying a bunch of snacks.
Buying a bunch of snacks. Okay, we already talked about food earlier. So what would you do?
Like candy.
If you had all the snacks you needed, all the games needed, and you didn't have to worry about school, and you had money, would you go someplace, or would you...
Riding my bike.
So you'd be riding your bike. So you're going to say, I'm bored. I can just say, go outside and ride your bike.
No. Mine.
Huh? So lightning bugs. Do you like lightning bugs?
Yeah.
Why do you like lightning bugs?
Because they're fun.
Because they're bugs and they light up?
Yeah.
And they glow in the dark? Do you ever like put them all over your face?
No.
And then go look at yourself in the mirror in a dark room? No. You should. You know why? I used to do that. So besides riding bikes, which sometimes you can't do because like today it's a little bit drizzly outside. And you can't ride them all the time. Do you ever go camping?
Can't.
You can't?
Can't.
You can't because you don't know how? Or you can't because you don't know where?
I just don't know where.
You don't know where? You can camp out in the backyard.
Thing's wing is busted. Hmm? The wing is busted, but like it...
Oh, on the lightning bug?
Yeah, because I busted it. But it can still spread its wings. That's all.
It can be your pet. You can raise it from a little spark into a full-grown lightning bug. Wait. You're not talking very much.
Sorry. Yep.
You're too busy with your lightning bug hobby, huh?
Yeah.
So, there we have it. Isaac doesn't have a lot in the way of hobbies other than riding bikes and playing with his pet lightning bugs. And frogs, right?
Mm.
No frogs? How about snakes?
No.
No snakes? Okay.
Isaac and Grandpa Show.
And what are people supposed to do?
Like and comment and subscribe. And make sure you hit that notification bell. There we go.
Yeah, notifications. And we do have notifications. Leave your email address and sign up, and you'll...
We'll get notified if we spin our heads like this.
And he's spinning his head like crazy.
Yeep.
You'll get notified anytime there's a new thing posted on the site. And what else can they do if they click on the button at the top that says store?
Get merch.
Right, and help Isaac raise some spending money this summer, huh? Because he needs money for his hobbies that he don't have. Oh, righty, and that was our silly segment with Isaac, and he answers your questions with his hobbies and things. Next up, some fun looks at news headlines with Chris the Wild Moose. Here we go.
Colorado man visiting Dominican Republic dies. Relatives say their questions to authorities going unanswered.
Why did he die? Why did he die? Because he stopped living.
Also, again, bad grammar on that sentence.
Well, you know, headlines, they kind of, you know, throw grammar and punctuation to the wind. But it's a Colorado guy who went to...
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic. And he died. Maybe because it's so warm there. It's from Colorado. It snowed like 2 feet on the first day.
It was too close to sea level. He couldn't take it. The London Zoo is celebrating Pride Month in honor of its gay penguins.
Really? Gay penguins? Or did you just add that last part about the penguins?
No, that's real. That's part of... That's
they have gay penguins, really?
Apparently. I don't know how they...
I don't know how you would tell.
I mean, I guess there's some ways you could tell, but...
So, like, they have, like, black and white penguins, and they have, like, rainbow feathers on them.
I guess so. They got, like... Instead of, like, just squawking, they go, squawk.
Well, You know, I had told someone earlier in the month that I was so disappointed over having it being Pride Month. I haven't seen a single lion all month.
I know.
Let alone a whole pride of them.
I haven't even seen the Lion King in a while.
Yeah, you know, at a zoo, you would think if they had Pride Month, it would be about the lions, not the penguins.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Reality star Melissa Rycroft says her parents thought she died after a Dominican Republic vacation.
So she's the Colorado person that went down.
Oh. Why'd they think she was a man?
Oh. Maybe, you know, fluid gender kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
She thought she was a man, and she went down to Dominican Republic, and then she died, and she came back a woman. Is that how that works?
Walmart is using artificial intelligence to prevent checkout theft.
Okay. Because people are artificially stealing from them.
I was just thinking, eventually they're going to need, like, RoboCop or the Terminator.
Walmart? Where has Nathan Caldwell been lately? Is he the artificial intelligence? Or is he the intelligence behind the artificial?
Or perhaps he's artificially intelligent.
Yeah, well, you can talk to him about that.
Oh, man.
See, I guess that's it. He's never really been the co-host. He's just been programmed.
Oh, he's been the program that operates. He's like Skynet. He's learning.
Yeah. He doesn't actually exist. No one has actually ever seen him.
That's why the Retrobots are able to kidnap him.
Yeah. He just says he has a wife and a job and a real life. Somewhere in Arkansas.
It's all...
But has anyone ever really been there?
It's all pre-programmed memory. It was created for him.
And I have been to Sherwood, Arkansas, but I never saw Nathan Caldwell there.
No, I think I've been there, too.
Does he exist? It's like that Santa Claus and the M&M commercial. He does exist.
They do exist. I'd be surprised if I saw a giant walking M&M, like a 3 foot tall M&M.
So you're saying Nathan Caldwell is a giant 3 foot tall M&M?
Maybe. I mean, maybe
no one's ever seen him. Could be.
Maybe. Maybe he's the peanut one, the tall yellow one.
So that'll be a homework question next time we...
Is Nathan Caldwell an M&M?
You know, we should put that out there as a poll question on Facebook. Has anyone ever seen Nathan Caldwell?
How many licks does it take?
Where in the world is Nathan Caldwell?
Who knows? Perhaps the shadow knows.
And so much for our fun look at news headlines. And I have to say, sorry about that last one, Nathan. We just got on a roll and couldn't resist. Next up is our main topic. So hope you enjoy. Stay tuned. And I will have a few things to say at the very end. Here we go.
Main topic.
Someone who bases everything on reason has faith in the reasoning process. What's wrong with saying that? Why can't you say, I have confidence in reason, I have faith in reason, I trust in the reasoning process? You won't say that because it will reveal that both our positions are faith positions. If you ask me why I believe in the Bible and I flip open the Bible and show you a verse, you say you're appealing to what you need to prove. If I ask you why do you believe in reason and give me a reason,
I'll tell you,
then you open your book, you open the reason and give me a reason.
You're making a huge leap. I say that the Bible, like the Quran and like the Torah, is man-made, not God-made. It's a human-made literary accretion, full of plagiarism, contradiction, fragmentation, and so on. It's like every other book ever written.
And I wrote,
there's nothing divine about it, and the appeal to it saying, I can trump anything you say because here's God's word on the page, is a contemptible way of arguing.
I wrote a logic textbook. Does that make logic man-made?
Logic is man-made, yes.
Yeah. So logic is, so there's no reason to follow it, then?
No.
If I reject Bible because it's man-made...
Logic is the attempt by humans to make sense. It isn't a divine endowment that we possess. Same with philosophy. Philosophy means the love of wisdom. We don't say it's the revelation by... You say what you have is revealed. Now, here's the way of clarifying the difference between us. Somebody asked earlier. I don't claim to know more than I can. Everything I've said this evening, I've backed by assertions, evidence, argument. Douglas Wilson, who's just as modest and friendly and tender a chap as I am, says, yeah, but I have an advantage over Christopher, because I know what God wants, and I know what he says in his book. I have access to a higher authority. Now, what I want you, I'll ask him, but I don't care, I've asked him before. You have to ask him. How does he know that? And by what right does he claim to know the mind of God? And if you were a serious spiritual person, wouldn't you think it was a bit much that someone said? They could come before you and tell you what God wanted? As long as they don't call it modesty, I don't mind. As long as they don't call it humility, I don't mind. But I don't like being told that my arguments aren't as good as his because he has divine information that's withheld from me.
So in this clip, we have two people disagreeing, basically. One says the Bible isn't God's, and the other says it is. And there's some interesting points when it comes to when the guy said...
is a contemptible way of arguing.
I wrote a logic textbook. Does that make logic man-made?
Logic is man-made, yeah.
And the guy comes back and says, he makes the counter-argument that if you say that the Bible is irrelevant because it's man-made, can you not say that about logic? Interesting thought.
Yeah. So logic is, so there's no reason to follow it then.
No.
If I reject Bible because it's man-made.
Logic is the attempt by humans to make sense. It isn't a divine endowment. What you have is revealed. Now, here's the way of clarifying the difference between us. Somebody asked earlier. I don't claim to know more than I can. Everything I've said this evening, I've backed by assertions, evidence, argument.
There is evidence to back up the Bible. Many things the Bible has said has been proven true. Prophecies have come true. I very much believe it's from God. Then he says...
yeah, but I have an advantage over Christopher, because I know what God wants, and I know what he says in his book. I have access to a higher authority. Now, what I want you... I'll ask him, but I don't care. I've asked him before. You have to ask him. How does he know that? And by what right does he claim to know the mind of God? And if you were a serious spiritual person, wouldn't you think it was a bit much that someone said? They could come before you and tell you what God wanted?
But by appealing to a higher power, how can they claim to know? They know the mind of God. Well, you could kind of flip that around. Your atheists claim a higher power. Their professor, the person that teaches, their scientific people, their higher brains, I guess you might say. They appeal to them all the time. Many times they claim to know certain things are true. But they don't know. As a matter of fact, there's no scientific evidence to back evolution. There's no scientific evidence. Let me explain what I mean by scientific evidence. You cannot go back in time and observe it. It is not observable. Therefore, there can be, according to the scientific method of observation, no scientific evidence. And then he says,
But I don't like being told that my arguments aren't as good as his because he has divine information that's withheld from me.
Well, if you're talking about the Bible, it isn't withheld from you. You could look at it anytime you want. I guess you just choose not to. Maybe you should check it out.
And this one, wow, this has Christopher Hitchens in it. And anytime I hear Christopher Hitchens speak, I always have to listen closely. And I'm glad there's a lot of things recorded because I have to play it back several times to make sense of what he says. He is a master at not answering the question and avoiding what's being asked. And he makes his own point, but it's not the point that was asked. Well, let me just start. Of course, the one guy, clearly there's a debate that had been going on. And from what I can gather is the challenge had been put to this speaker that for some reason, being a Christian, his point was invalid in some way, or that faith was invalid. And so he asked this question.
Someone who bases everything on reason has faith in the reasoning process. What's wrong with saying that? Why can't you say, I have confidence in reason, I have faith in reason, I trust in the reasoning process?
Because clearly, the guy must have said something about he trusts in God, and clearly Christopher Hitchens here is saying, or not willing to say, he trusts in his own logical reasoning. So remember that this is the question being asked. Why can't you say I have trust in logic? Remember, that's the question, because all the rest of this is a lot of smoke blowing.
You won't say that because it will reveal that both our positions are faith positions. If you ask me why I believe in the Bible and I flip open the Bible and show you a verse, you say you're appealing to what you need to prove. If I ask you why do you believe in reason and give me a reason,
I'll tell you,
then you open your book, you open the reason and give me a
And the guy, again, remember the question, he's trying to appeal to logic. He's essentially willing to say, let's table the divine topic and say, look, I have my book, my source, and you say I can't use it, and you have your book, your source, I just want to, if I ask you for proof, you open up your book. And Hitchens then comes back.
Reason. No, you're making a hugely basic. I say that the Bible, like the Quran and like the Torah, is man-made, not God-made. It's a human-made literary accretion full of plagiarism, contradiction, fragmentation, and so on. It's like every other book ever written.
He stammers around a little bit, but because you kind of get an insight the way his mind is like clamoring for the idea he wants to make, but he flat out eventually comes out and says, the Bible, Quran, Torah, they're all man-made and not God-made. So he hasn't answered the question. In fact, he's actually putting these holy books on the same ground as, say, a logic textbook. They're man-made. A man wrote a logic textbook. A man wrote the Bible. So he essentially, in my opinion, he's kind of cutting his throat here walking into this guy's position that says, your book is man-made, my book is man-made. So if they're both man-made, why can't they be treated the same? That's my question. And he quotes this thing.
Full of plagiarism, contradiction, fragmentation, and so on.
He's clearly stealing from the verse, I think it's in Timothy or Titus, it says that the Bible is good for reproof and for teaching. He's kind of turning it on its head. So clearly he knows a little bit about scriptures, but again, that's just nonsense because he just flatly said that the Bible is just another man-made book. Let's just go with that. It's a man-made book. So why can't it not be appealed to like any other man-made book? He claims that there's nothing divine.
There's nothing divine about it, and the appeal to it saying, I can trump anything you say because here's God's word on the page, is a contemptible way of arguing.
And I get that. He's not willing to say it's a divine book. But he's not answering the questions, why can't I appeal to my book if you appeal to your book? He claims it's a contemptible way of arguing to say that there is some divine inspiration in this. And, you know, on one hand, I would agree, you know, if someone says, hey, God said so, God told me this. God could do it that way because he's God. He can do anything he wants. Well, to me, you're kind of appealing to superstition. It is good to have some evidence to back up claims. And I would agree that if your acceptable evidence is to be based on observable and tangible things, and if you don't want divinity included in your debate, I would agree. It would be contemptible to bring in the God factor to include with your evidence. So to me, then, the important thing is accept the Bible then as its historical, philosophical, and logical values as a valid document. So let's take it from there, table the divine aspect, and does the words in the scripture apply on those terms? And I would say, sure it does. Now, this is, and the guy, of course, whoops out the statement.
I wrote a logic textbook. Does that make logic man-made?
Of course, that's a question that begs the answer to say, well, yes. Because if you say no, then you have to explain where logic comes from. And of course, Hitchens comes back.
Logic is man-made, yes.
And honestly, you know what? It is not man-made. Logic is not man-made. The word logic means, it comes from the word logo, and you know, I guess ik would be, what you're trying to do is apply a thought process into words. But logic is a process, it's reasoning process. Where does logic and reasoning come from? It's what humans do to make sense of what they observe around them. But you don't invent logic to explain things. It's just the process that's already there. You're just putting words to a thought process that's there. And so it's not man-made. It's just how our brains work in an orderly fashion. So I would disagree with Hitchens on that point. And so, of course, our counterpart speaker, I don't know who he is or what this debate's about, but he says, so...
Yeah. So logic is, so there's no reason to follow it, then?
No.
And I thought, wait a minute, is he saying no, it's no reason to follow it, or no, he disagrees with the guy's statement? I'm not real clear what he meant by that.
Logic is the attempt by humans to make sense. It isn't a divine endowment.
So there you go. He even agrees it is the attempt for man to make sense. It is not invented by man. So he contradicts himself by those statements. At least that's the way I take it. And maybe I missed something. Maybe I'm wrong. But I guarantee I listened to this clip so many times to make sure I didn't get something wrong. Because I'm really trying hard to not get it wrong.
We possess. Same with philosophy. Philosophy means the love of wisdom. We don't say it's the revelation by... You say what you have is revealed.
Now, so if logic, like philosophy, is man's way to make sense of the world, okay, I think I'm understanding that. But again, I'm confused on the point, because the question presented was, I wrote a man-made book called On Logic, should we follow it or not? And I'm not real clear on if Hitchens says yes or no, because on one hand he seems to be saying no, On the other hand, he seems to be saying yes, because logic is a man-made system of how we observe. And so should we follow the man-made books or not? Because either we do or we don't. Either we go to our library shelf and we read the book and we follow the instructions there, or we don't. And the Bible is a book just the same as any other book is. If you want to take the divine factor out, then it's written by man, then it is just as valid of a book then as any other logic or philosophical book. Now, of course, it's only because people attribute inspiration to it is what they have the crisis with. But it holds a lot of valid observations about people in their historical context, in their historical times. And if you say the Bible is not true, like I said, it puts all man-made books on slippery ground. If the Bible is, let's say, not inspired, and if the Bible is just a man-made book. Let's continue on.
Here's the way of clarifying the difference between us. Somebody asked earlier. I don't claim to know more than I can. Everything I've said this evening, I've backed by assertions, evidence, argument.
And I have to say, I don't follow what he's talking about. Nobody can know more than they can. We only have a certain capacity to know things in our experience and our perspective on life. He hasn't answered the question yet. He keeps bringing up these other things. He says, I am backed by assertions, arguments, and evidence. And again, if you table the divine attribute of Scripture, isn't it also loaded with the same elements of truth claims? But anyway, let's continue on.
Says, yeah, but I have an advantage over Christopher, because I know what God wants, and I know what he says in his book. How does he know that? And by what right does he claim to know the mind of God? And
now, again, I don't want to really comment on this because it seems to point against point towards something in the larger debate, and I don't understand who he's talking to or what he's talking about. He just is evading the issue of a double standard of allowing source material on one side of an argument, but not the other side of an argument. In fact, the whole issue of inspiration and presumption, by a presumption of Hitchens himself, when he said, you see a revealed book, I know what God wants, and so forth. He's the one who even brought it up. The other guy didn't, unless there's something being said outside of this clip that we don't know about.
As long as they don't call it modesty, I don't mind. As long as they don't call it humility, I don't mind. But I don't like being told that my arguments aren't as good as his because he has divine information that's withheld from me.
All right. I have to say I don't get what he's referring to when he says minding about being modest or humble. I wonder if it's something outside the clip he's referring to. But where did that come from? I don't understand if it pertains to this or not. So, yeah, there we go. A word from Christopher Hitchens and his misdirection and never quite answering the question. He makes presumptions about religion and inspiration, and he never says whether we should trust logic or not, or whether he trusts logic or not. He clearly does, but he doesn't want to use those words on him.
I'm arguing for a certain kind of intolerance. There's no way around that. But it's not the kind of intolerance that gave us the gulag or that would put people in prison for their religious beliefs. I'm arguing for just new rules of conversation. We can call it conversational intolerance, where, you know, if I came on your show and said the Holocaust never happened, I would immediately feel pressure from you to justify that claim, or you would marginalize me immediately as someone who just could not be trusted, at least on European history. But if I come on your show and say that I'm in dialogue with the creator of the universe, or if I know a cracker literally becomes the body of Jesus, if you say the right Latin words over it, you have to give me a pass. It's taboo to criticize that, and that's really what I'm challenging in my book. Well, there's not sufficient evidence for, certainly not for a personal God, and certainly there's no evidence that he wrote any of our books. And we have to realize that we are in a situation where people are flying planes into our buildings because they think God wrote their book and that they're going to get to paradise by dying in the right circumstances. And it seems to me a point of really exquisite obviousness that the response to this situation cannot be, sorry guys, God wrote our book and you're going to hell for your actions.
Okay, this gentleman is talking about how you can be intolerant about somebody who claims historic events didn't happen, and rightly so.
You know, if I came on your show and said the Holocaust never happened, I would immediately feel pressure from you to justify that claim, or you would marginalize me immediately as someone who just could not be trusted.
I'll go with you so far. Still listening.
But if I come on your show and say that I'm in dialogue with the creator of the universe, or if I know a cracker literally becomes the body of Jesus, if you say the right Latin words over it, you have to give me a pass. It's taboo to criticize that, and that's really what I'm challenging in my book.
Those people have to have a pass. Well, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this. I'll throw this out there. Keith, I'm sure you have other things. We know for a fact the Holocaust was observed. It happened. There are pictures, there are images, there are evidences. A person comes up and says, I know the God of the universe. He called me. I felt it in my heart, and I repented of my sin, and I turned to him. And now I have a relationship with the God of the universe because of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, you know, we should not be tolerating that. Why? Why not? Because, man, you have no proof whatsoever that that is not the case.
And we have to realize that we are in a situation where people are flying planes into our buildings because they think God wrote their book and that they're going to get to paradise by dying in the right circumstances.
But here's the thing. Not all of them do that. Oh, somebody's going to mention the Crusades. Who's to say the people who did the Crusades were doing the right thing? Who's to say that they were doing it by God's command? Oh, they may have claimed to be doing it by God's command, but that does not make it so. Just like the guy who claimed the Holocaust didn't exist, and there are those that do, is not validated. So why are we suddenly validating the ones who claim they did things of God and hurt people, but the ones who say they love God and God is wanting them to love their enemy, they get an attack in with everybody else? Keith, maybe you can make some sense of this. Maybe I messed up. Maybe I'm wrong in something. Just somebody do something. Tell me something.
The speaker comes right out and hops on intolerance. A new kind of intolerance is how he puts it. And then he proceeds to connect that to history, to religion, and some other things. And he, I guess, makes some logical steps, but they are not really. And he makes a claim that things like historical events, like the Holocaust, you would demand historical events. And he seems to imply that matters that are in the Bible have no historical support.
you have to give me a pass. It's taboo to criticize that, and that's really what I'm challenging in my book. Well, there's not sufficient evidence for, certainly not for a personal God, and certainly there's no evidence that he wrote any of our books.
And that's not true, because out of any historical books of any kind, especially the New Testament scriptures, have an explosion of good, sound historical backing. Now, the older you get in history, some of that support fades away, mostly because the papyrus and kind of things that would have been written on just don't hold up with time. But you can say that about any ancient writing. And if we need to know anything is true, if you have writings that have a lot of documented support, then that there is evidence there. Now,
or if I know a cracker literally becomes the body of Jesus, if you say the right Latin words over it, you have to give me a pass. It's taboo to criticize that, and that's really what I'm challenging in my book.
And I would say, if you're talking about transubstantiation, which means you believe that bread becomes human flesh and wine becomes human blood, I would say you need to get your superstitions out of your religion. But he seems to lump everything into the umbrella of religious doctrine. And are there bad doctrines? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are. But what he's begging that we throw the baby out with the bathwater instead of sorting through what's good and what is clearly garbage. But he didn't go there, unfortunately. He challenges the taboo to question religion. And honestly, yeah, there may be some social taboos. Oh, you don't mess with the church. You know, the Pope says this, you got to do it. If you feel like you can't question those taboos, you should question those taboos. If you want to question a religion like, say, Islam, and see how it is a poorly structured religion that is man-made, clearly, for man-made political purposes, you should challenge that. That should not be taboo. And the religions that have the most taboos are probably the ones that are abusing that to try to subjugate people. And you do want to flee from that. You want to get rid of that. Find you a different religion that teaches things correctly.
Well, there's not sufficient evidence for, certainly not for a personal God, and certainly there's no evidence that he wrote any of our books.
He seems to think there's not enough evidence for God or that he wrote the Bible. And, you know, if you don't believe in a supernatural deity who created the universe, you're not going to believe that a supernatural deity wrote the Bible. In fact, as a person who has such a belief, do I believe that God himself physically, literally wrote the Bible? No. God is invisible. He's a spirit. And we live in a physical world that he created. Could he write it? Could he actually take a pen and make it float through the air and dip the quill into the ink? Could he do that? Well, he probably could. Hey, he's God. But why would he do that? He has a way of inspiring the hearts and minds of men to write things down. And I think that's how that would have happened. And, you know, there are such people today, you know, spiritualists and the occult, people who claim to be fortune tellers, who claim to have a spirit guide or some such of a thing. So if those things are believable for you to know that exists, then why not believing in a all-knowing, almighty, powerful God who is way above those kind of spiritual things? Why could he not speak to people who we call prophets or, you know, those kind of folk who wrote it down? There's times I've written the stuff down and I forgot about and I'll come back to it later and like, who in the heck wrote this? And it's like, this is good. And it's like, oh yeah, I think I did that. Where'd this come from? Something, you know, my inner muse, you might speak, was inspired. He seems to think that some kind of inspiration like that needs documentation. And honestly, it would be difficult to say, oh, look, this was inspired by whatever thing. It is hard. I will agree. And it's one of those things where faith comes into play.
And we have to realize that we are in a situation where people are flying planes into our buildings because they think God wrote their book.
Wrote your book. You know, gods in that sense are not created equal because the God of the universe created everything, even those gods, you might say, who wrote those secular books. But if you study such things as holy writings, to me, it's not difficult to see the quality of the inspiration behind it. And
that they're going to get to paradise by dying in the right circumstances.
I would say, yeah, we get to heaven by dying under the right circumstances, but under the circumstances that Jesus died for me and for you. And if we have faith that is true, and we make Jesus the Lord over our life, it's his circumstance that we can latch onto. It's not really not even our own faith. It's because of him that we have something that we can believe in.
And it seems to me a point of really exquisite obviousness that the response to this situation cannot be, sorry guys, God wrote our book and you're going to hell for your action.
And the word exquisite caught my eye in this clear rant about terrorist extremists. And exquisite means delicately beautiful. So he thinks it's delicately beautiful. Someone says their book says you're going to hell. I think he's being sarcastic when he uses that word. Anyway.
Okay, and that is our show for today. I did want to have one final thing to say based on that first go-around of those clips. I did locate what Christopher Hitchens meant when he talked about, I don't mind if they call it modest, I don't mind if they call it, well, I'll forget what. He's referring to when Christians say that God made the world and the crowning achievement was putting mankind on it, and we are the top of the food chain or the top final icing on the cake, so to speak. He thinks that's a proud thing to say. He thinks that is anything but modest or humble. And, well, let me define something real quick. Because I would agree, I feel very humbled over that. And it is not immodest, because if anyone is making that claim, it's God himself making that claim that he made this world for man to live in. It would be very arrogant if I said I made the world and I am the top cheese around here. But I know I'm not. And I don't know how he gets that. But that's what he meant by that, as near as I can tell. And it indeed must have came from somewhere else, either in a different debate or in the larger debate. But that's all I have on that. Well, hopefully you learned a little bit about some of these challenges. They sound kind of good when they make those claims, but their arguments are kind of full of holes. They don't hold water. They equivocate. They use all manner of fallacies. Anyway, that's all I got on that. This will be the part where I say this is Keith, your host, signing off. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend about us. And please do stop by again next week. It's usually the week for our audio drama. There may or may not be an audio drama. But we'll make sure that there is a podcast of some kind. So check back and see what it is. You may be surprised. Or you may not. Anyway, once again, this is your host, Keith, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Visit life-truth.com, the new home for all our Quest for Truth shows. While you're there, subscribe to the shows. Sign up for email notifications. Send an email or leave a voicemail at 401-753-4844. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at Protectors of the Book, facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music for the show provided by permission of Kevin Zerbe, zerbinator.wordpress.com. Music in the show provided by permission of Carrie Livgren, under the Creative Commons license as derivative work. Freely received, freely given, and not for resale. May God richly bless you. If you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.